Hello and welcome, peoples of the interwebs. Tis I, Christy.
And me, Kelly.
And you're joining us once again at Unnerved, a horror movie podcast.
If you're new here, Christy and I talk about a horror movie that we watch every other week, and we do fun facts and the plot synopsis and all that. So, welcome.
Yes, welcome. Yes. And this week, we're covering my pick, because we were doing a thing where 2 weeks ago, Kelly picked the movie, and now I'm picking the movie, and I picked Sleepaway Camp from 1983.
Yeah, I'd never seen it. Big surprise. And we got to watch this one together, which was really nice. So
yes, we've been so busy. We haven't been able to watch many of the movies together.
Yes.
Which is sad. Sad panda.
It has been sad, but we actually watched this one and our next movie, which we'll talk about at the end of this episode.
Yep.
So we got a kind of a twofer.
Yeah, we did a mini movie marathon for Unnerved.
Yes.
So Kelly, you want to hit us with the cast?
Yeah, I'll hit it with the cast. Okay, first is Felissa Rose, who's Angela Baker. Oh, I almost said Barker. Oh no. Jonathan Tiersten is Ricky Thomas. Karen Fields is Judy. Christopher Collet is Paul. Mike Kellen is Mel Kostick. Catherine Cammy is Meg. Paul D'Angelo is Ronnie Angelo. Beautiful. Just take a moment. Beautiful. Yeah. Tom Vandell is Mike. Laura Salahan is Billy. John E. Dunn is Kenny. Ethan LaRosa is Jimmy. Willie Kuskin is Mozart. Desiree Gold is Aunt Martha Thomas. And Owen Hughes is Artie. And this is directed by Robert Hiltzik.
Yes.
Oh, good stuff. Yes.
I mean, it's a big cast, and we're only going through in our minds, the big names.
Something I really like about this movie is it takes place at a camp, sleepaway camp, and they did a really good job of making it feel like it was a full camp of kids, which I really appreciate, because that's kind of hard to do when you have to pay actors and they're child actors. Like, and they were definitely children. They weren't these 18, 19 year olds playing children. They were really children, which is kind of refreshing, because we don't see that often.
No, we do not.
Especially in a horror movie.
Well, yeah, especially also from the 80s too.
Yeah.
So let's just jump into it. We got a lot to cover.
Yeah.
So we're starting out, it's the summer of 1975, and we have John Baker and his partner, which is important later. His name is Lenny.
Yeah.
They take John's children, Angela and Peter, out on a boat ride near the camp. So, like, it's a lake that's shared by, like, residences and the camp.
Yes.
So, we're seeing both sides of the lake. And Angela and Peter are trying to prank their dad. They flip over the boat. They're having a good time. And they're like, okay, well, it's time to go back anyways. Lenny's calling us in. So, they're going to start working their way to shore. But some dumbass teenage camp counselors from the camp are doing water skiing, and this bitch isn't paying fucking attention and runs over the family with the boat.
This was horrible. Watching this with you, I was like, no. Like, I thought it was going to be some, like, these kids in the boat were the ones who were going to watch or whatever. No, they're just straight up murder a family.
Yeah. So the chick that was doing the skiing was trying to warn the people driving the boat to pay attention, and they don't listen to her, of course, because it's loud and they're dumb.
Yeah.
And we just have, as the bodies are, like, floating along the water, we just have that one counselor like, oh, God, please help them. Oh.
Yeah. But bad acting.
I mean, overdramatic. Yes.
But anyways, we see that one of the kids is struggling to live. Like,
hanging in there.
Yes. And then I think we cut directly to like an 8 years later, and we close up on a house and we go inside the house. And it is a little boy named Ricky. And then we find out that the little girl lived the boating accident, who now lives with her cousin and her aunt, Dr. Martha.
Their aunt is, what's the wackadoo for schmackadoo? That's what I like to say.
100% very tilted, like kind of weird. She's just weird.
Insane.
Yeah,
she's cray cray. How'd she get a doctorate? We'll never know.
I don't know. I know the actress who played her, Desiree Gold, was when she originally read the part, she was like, "This is just so weird. Like, I can't do this." So she went up to the director and said, "You know, I don't think this part is for me. I just can't do this." And he's like, "Oh, no, you're going to do it. You don't have a choice." Like, so I guess they really wanted her, but she played it really well. It's just really creepy.
Yeah. So it kind of gives us a little red flag to the aunt for some reason, because she's crazy. But she makes sure that they're all ready for camp, and she gives them their, like, physicals, their paper physicals, which she is like, "Don't tell anybody where you got them from, because just because I'm a doctor, but I'm a relative, I shouldn't have been giving these to you, but I did it anyways."
Yeah.
So she did their physicals when she wasn't supposed to. So that's important. So now we're at camp, and Angela and Ricky are like running out with all the other kids, and they're having a grand old time.
And Judy's got boobs.
Yes, we have a moment where Ricky and his buddy quick talk about Judy and how she has developed since last year.
Yes, she's got boobs.
She's got titties. they're like, okay, we gotta go get our figure out our cabin situation and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. And I think Ricky says something like, "Angela, you're down in the girls' cabins. I'll be up the hill if you need me." Which, like, Ricky
he's great. Is the best guy.
He's great.
He's looking out for his cousin.
Yes.
He's like, "I'm here for you when you need me. I get it. You went through some traumatic shit, and I'm here to make sure you's goods."
Christy, how old did you think Jonathan Tiersten was, who played Ricky in this movie?
15 at the oldest, but my guess would be 14.
He was 17.
Damn, son!
I know, he looks 12. Like, he was 17 when they filmed this.
All right. I mean, okay, so this is weird. This is a weird tangent I'm about to go off of.
Oh, no.
So, it's just minor. So, when I was a freshman in high school, like, all the seniors, like, juniors and seniors above me were these big, jacked dudes, facial hair.
Yeah.
Like, they looked already like they were 19, 20.
Yep.
So, now that I'm an adult and have driven past a high school recently, all of the kids, no matter what grade, are all scrawny and look exactly the same to me.
Yeah, I completely understand.
None of them have facial hair at all. I was just like, okay, have we hit a point where, like, it's not happening sooner for guys?
Oh, no!
Where, like, they don't get the facial hair? Because, like, when I was in high school, I had classmates that had full beards.
Yeah. I don't think I had many of those. I had a few, but not many.
It was just a weird observation.
Well, I think the 80s, too, the look was kind of really fit and lean, not big and jacked.
Yeah, but I'm more saying, like, you could tell, like, who was, like, the senior versus who was the freshman when I was in high school.
Yep. Yeah, but he was 17.
Like, I know. And I'm saying he doesn't look 17. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe I agree.
Maybe we're flip-flopping. I don't know. It's just a weird thought that has come to mind for me. Moving on. Angela Angela meets Judy and her counselors. And Judy and Meg are besties.
Like, my name is Meg. M-E-G. I'm like, oh, God. Here we go.
I hate her.
I hate her and I hate Judy. And immediately, they're very mean to Angela. I mean, Angela was staring at Judy and it is rude to stare. But, like...
Yeah.
The amount of bullying is it's not okay. It's uncalled for. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 100% agree. But the other counselor, Susie, seems pretty nice and befriends Angela, and Angela's okay with this other counselor.
Yeah, so, there are people who stick up for her.
Yeah. And
it's nice to see.
Yeah, we also meet the head counselor, Ronnie. He's pretty cool.
Ronnie's jacked, right?
Yeah.
That's Ronnie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the one with the 10 out of 10 ass.
Oh, my God. He has these tiny little red shorts on, and he's, like, clearly a bodybuilder, but, I mean,
you see
10 out of 10. Oh, yeah. Everything.
So, while Kelly and I were watching this, we were ranking all the butts of age-appropriate individuals.
Yes. Yes.
Let me clarify that. Anyone who we knew was age appropriate in this movie.
Yep. No, I literally was like, that's an adult, right? Because the counselors at the camp are like college age.
And yeah, we put them at college age because they had college t-shirts.
Yeah, they had like USC and t-shirts and stuff. So they come back, probably people who used to be campers that are now counselors. So
yeah. So, yeah, Angela hasn't been eating, so Ronnie's like, hey, let's find you something to eat, okay?
Yeah.
So he takes her back to the kitchen and is like, hey, can you find her something to eat? And then he gets called away for a brief moment.
Mm-hmm, he does.
The kitchen staff is made up of some very sleazy older men.
Yes, extremely sleazy.
And they, before this, we get a glimpse of them, and we've already gotten a hint that at least two of them are very much into the children in sexual preference, which is illegal.
It's disgusting.
It's gross and disgusting and terrible. And Artie, the big guy,
mm-hmm.
he takes Angela into like the back freezer area and attempts to molest her. But
yeah.
Good old cousin Ricky catches them, and he's like, what are you doing? And he and Angela run out.
So, luckily, when they filmed this, they did not film her standing there while, like, he was taking his belt off. Mm-hmm. Like, she was not present when he was doing that part of the scene, which
yes.
makes me very happy. Apparently, on set, Owen Hughes, yeah,
mm-hmm.
that plays Artie, the molester. They were, like, really sweet guy. So, you know, she felt safe on set and stuff. I mean, obviously, it's a movie, but it's still terrible. Like,
yeah.
Ugh.
It's adult themes, and she was underage. There's no reason to act that from a full camera perspective.
Right.
So, we later see, like, as they run out, Artie's putting his belt back on while talking to his boss, which... The boss clearly understands what this guy does and does not seem to fully care.
It's disgusting.
Yes. So we kind of cut ahead a little bit where Artie is working over a ginormous pot of boiling water.
Mm-hmm. To cook corn, I think. To boil corn?
Yes.
Yep.
And everybody clears the kitchen except for him. And he gets knocked over the chair that he's standing on, and the giant pot falls on top of him, severely scalding him, and we get to see all kinds of good blistery gooey flesh melting and screams of agony from this garbage human being.
Yeah, I mean, it was, so what they did with him is they put gelatin on his face, and then they rigged up a floorboard, because that's not actually the floor of the kitchen, and they had, like, tubes, which they basically pumped air into to make the bubbles, like, rise up. Yep. I think one of them pops, doesn't it?
It starts to ooze, yeah.
Oh, it's just, it, Very well done. Very nasty. Very well deserved.
10 out of 10. This guy deserved it. And you know what? In hindsight, we don't count him on the kill because
he's not dead.
See him. He's still screaming when he leaves the film. So he's not dead. But if you think about it, death would have been too easy for this guy. This guy has got to live now with his whole life looking like Freddy Krueger and being a blistery pus balloon.
Yes.
For a foreseeable future, and he's in pain. So good for that.
I'm not mad about this. Like, and they don't say he's dead. They take him in an ambulance and say that I can't imagine the pain that he's in. I don't think he dies. Like, it would be horrible. I can't imagine the pain that would be in, but like.
Yeah. It's hinted at on some blogs that he's dead, but I'm just like, we don't see it. It doesn't get caught. How we do it, if we don't see it, it doesn't count.
Agree.
Or if someone doesn't specifically say this person died, doesn't count.
Yes. Yep.
So that guy's gone. Woohoo.
And we kind of get that this camp owner guy named Mel is kind of trying to, like, we don't tell the kids, you know, we don't want them to freak out, which I kind of get, like.
Yeah, don't.
It would be really hard
to
explain to kids. Yeah.
But his reasoning isn't, oh, let's not tell the kids to keep them from, like, getting traumatized. No, don't tell the kids because they're going to tell their parents and never bring them here again and we'll go out of business. Like, his reasoning is wrong.
Right.
So, it's a very distinct character flaw that he has. As a person, not as like the character development of written in the movie, but as a person. So now we are skipping ahead to Kenny and Mike mocking Angela. Ricky and his buddy Paul are fighting them to, like.
Yeah, I think this is in the mess. Like, it's like a rec room.
Yeah, we're in a rec room now.
Yeah.
So it's like a little gym. There's like a candy bar there where they can get snacks and whatnot. And yeah. Kenny and Mike initially try to like hit on Angela, but since she's not giving like the time of day, she's not talking to them. They start literally mocking her and everything that she had. Like, she's just sitting there. They just mock her for being quiet.
Yeah, dude, so. It's messed up. And is this when Ricky walks into the rec hall with like a big hat on?
I believe so.
Yeah, it's very random. He said Ricky, it was too big for him, too, so.
Yeah, Ricky and Paul fight these guys, and there's, like, a huge mosh pit in the middle of the floor, which gets broken up. And then we have Paul going to befriend Angela, and since he's nice to her, she says her first lines of the movie.
Yes.
And talks to him for a little bit.
And, like, we're, like, over 30 minutes into the movie at this point, so.
31 minutes, exactly, is when her first line is.
I mean, applaud. Applaud. Very good.
Yeah. So, she says goodnight to him.
Yeah, and it's cute.
It's adorable. And that night, after playing a mean prank on a girl. Kenny, one of the mockers that we were just talking about, he's stuck out in the middle of the lake.
Yes.
In a capsized canoe.
Yep.
And somebody shows up and starts drowning him.
Yeah, rough. Big rough. And, I mean, from the back, we only see the back of this person's head. It's really tough to tell who this person is.
Yes.
And we saw hands in the other sequence with the cook. So, yeah. I mean, first gut reaction, they're manly hands. Like, I'm thinking it's a dude at the camp, you know?
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. So, he dies.
He very dead.
And is discovered in the morning by one of the lifeguards. And he also looks ooey gooey and nasty and stuff is crawling out of his mouth.
Yep.
Ugh, it's bad.
It's gross.
They deem his death an accident.
The accidental drowning, I think.
Yes, at Mel's insistence.
Yeah. Oh, pff, lies.
But everybody else, like Ronnie and the police officer, they express a lot of doubt. Now, we cut back over to Paul asking Angela if they want to go to the movie night together.
Yeah.
And she's like, yes, I'll go with you.
It's so cute.
It's adorbs. And we don't see what happens during the movie, but after the movie, they walk outside holding hands.
Yeah, it's cute.
He walks her to her cabin, but is like, hey, let's go over here for a minute. I want to show you something, and surprises her with two goodnight kisses, which, okay, dude, consent, but.
Okay, but consent.
Element of surprise, I guess.
I guess, but the first kiss, let's be real. I know it's awkward. It's a first kiss, but Angela was not into it. Like, I mean, she would. Yeah. You don't go for that second kiss.
I mean, she then ran away.
Yeah, she was like, uh-oh, like, I can't handle this. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, this was I understand.
So, yeah. Next day, Angela is getting bullied by the girls again.
Yeah.
And it's like, consistent. She's like, I'm going to go find my cousin and just, I need to talk to him. So, she goes over to the guys' camp. And Billy and Mike, we knew Mike previously, but now he's got a new BFF now that Candy died.
Mm-hmm.
They start chucking water balloons at Angela.
Yes.
And Paul and Ricky come and help her out and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So then we cut to Billy, who has to, like, really use the bathroom. And has to grab reading materials to do so.
He's gotta take a shit.
Yeah.
He gotta go.
He goes to the bathroom. And then we see the mysterious individual stick a broom handle through the, like, door handles.
Yep.
And then go around to where the window is above where Billy is sitting.
Yeah.
Cuts open the window. Shoves an angry beehive through the window and starts shaking it.
Yeah, and then I think it falls, doesn't it? It falls into the stall.
Yep.
Yeah, and Billy's screaming.
Yeah, he can't get out. He's getting stung to death.
Literally to death.
Yes, so he dies, and that's another... It's a creative kill. I do appreciate it. Would it happen that fast? Absolutely not.
And
unless it's a very specific type of, like, bee that he's, like, maybe allergic to.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe he was allergic to it.
And I mean, it's possible. The way they eat his face at the end is a little weird, though. Like, the bees eating his face. That's weird.
I still appreciate it, though.
I mean, it's nice, but it's unrealistic.
It's a nice... Yeah, but this one doesn't bother me because I like it.
It gets a pass.
It gets a pass. It's good effect, so it gets a pass.
Yep.
And it's creative. If it wasn't creative and it let me down, yeah, no. But it's creative.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah. So now that he was discovered, Mel suspects that there is a killer on the loose at camp.
Yes. And he seems to have a particular person in mind, but unwilling to fully come to terms with that yet.
He's thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
The gears are turning.
Yes.
So now it's nighttime, and Paul and Angela are running around the lake shore.
Yeah, and she does this, like, cute little move where, like, she trips him and they fall together. It's cute.
Trips him and he falls, and she just, like, flirtatiously runs away. And I'm just like, yes, girl.
Yes, queen. Like, yes.
And Paul catches up to her and starts making out.
This is a little uncomfortable to watch just because it's two young children, like, fully making out. And then he starts to, like, undo her shirt.
He doesn't go very far. He just goes for, like the top buttons at this point, because he's not going to get any further than that. But
it's Angela's still a little having, weird.
Angela's having like a weird existential crisis in her brain. She's seeing like her father and Lenny in bed together. Yep. So she's getting homosexual like thoughts.
And then it's a picture of her also sitting on
cut
the...
to, yep, cut to yeah. her and her younger brother, like at that age of the accident, pointing at one another.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then she freaks out, pushes over Paul, says no, and runs away, which is good. No means no. Mm-hmm. And then he's all confused. He's like, what did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. Bullshit, Paul.
Paul, you need to ask for consent, Paul. Like...
Paul.
He's too eager. He's too eager.
Yes.
He needs to check in with his lady.
Yes. Always check in. Always ask for consent.
Yep.
The ladies love it.
He needs to learn.
Yes. The following day happens, and they're playing Capture the Flag.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Angela's not into this.
No.
Not into this.
But she has to play. It's kind of mandatory. So,
yeah.
But Judy, Big Tits McGee Judy,
yep.
Decides that it's going to be her chance to seduce Paul because it would piss off Angela.
I really don't understand Judy's issue with Angela.
Yeah, I don't know, because Judy's just a mean girl. Does she need a reason? I knew mean girls that had no motivation for bullying.
Okay. I didn't really know people like that, so like.
Oh, I me, did.
It's just. I did. It feels so like. Let's like, gang up on her because she's an easy target. Like that's what it feels like.
That's exactly it, and I know quite a few people from school who did just that.
Hmm.
And that's they're piece up. Of shit. Yeah, they're piece of shit. But. And Paul's like, okay, Judy. And we also see Ricky and Judy, or not Judy, Ricky and Angela coming up with a way to steal the flag all sneaky-like.
Mm-hmm.
And they run into Paul and Judy making out.
Yes.
So Angela runs away, upset.
And Ricky's like, come on, dude. Like.
Oh, yeah. And he flips off Judy, which is great.
Yep.
Ricky is the best character in the whole film.
He's great. 10 out of 10. Love Ricky.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So Paul then tries to catch up with Angela and tries to explain himself.
Mm-hmm.
After his swimming session. And he gets shooed away by Judy and Meg. And Judy and Meg then pick up Angela and throw her ass in the water because she refuses to participate.
Like, this is something, like, they have no idea that her sibling died, her brother died.
Correct.
In a boating accident on this lake. Like.
Correct.
This is difficult to watch because if I were her, I also would never want to set foot in the lake again, like, for good traumatic reason. And yeah. They're just bitches.
Yeah.
I just, it's hard to watch.
Yeah. Ricky does rescue Angela.
Which, yes, he
whoop,
does.
Whoop whoop.
But not before Mel tries to stop him from doing so. Like,
yes, because Mel thinks that Ricky is the one causing the killings on the camp.
Which makes no sense, but I mean, sure, Mel. do you.
Ricky manages to get away from him, save Angela, and then cusses up a storm and talks about revenge. Mm-hmm. To her, at her aggressors. So
yes. So rough. It's rough.
Yeah. Yeah. Next, it's nighttime, mm-hmm. And Meg got a stern talking to about her behavior, but she has been given the night off.
Yes.
So she is gonna get ready for her date with grumpy, disgusting Mel. Which,
ew.
There's at least a 30-year difference there. At
also,
least.
he not a hot, attractive older gentleman. Like,
no, but she wants like that sugar daddy money. I don't know.
I don't know, man. It's a little weird. It's a little weird.
It's gross. So Meg is gonna go take a shower quick.
She gotta get ready.
Yeah, she gotta get ready. So she goes to, like, the open cabin that nobody's currently in to go shower there because the line is too long.
Yeah, they all kind of look at her like, no, we're not letting you go ahead of us.
Right, you're a bitch. And so while she's showering, she gets stabbed to death, which, fucking good. Get her out of this movie.
It's a nice death, too. It's, like, through the siding of the shower, and it goes all the way down her back.
Oh, yeah. It's nice, and it's satisfying, and it's great.
Yes.
So, all the kids are at the social that is happening at that rec center. Paul is trying to apologize to Angela for what happened earlier with Judy, and she tells him to meet her at the waterfront later.
It sounds like she might be considering giving him another chance, because, like, she was straight up ignoring him, and I'm like, yes, girl, this man cheated on you. Like,
yeah, I would not be forgiving.
Against your mortal enemy. I mean, like, geez.
I'm not a forgiving individual. If you do me wrong, you do me dirty, that's it.
Well, especially something like that. Like, no, Paul. Like, you made that decision knowing full well that if I saw it happen, like, you knew it would hurt my feelings. So.
Right. Guys are not that dumb. Paul should know better. Paul is giving guys a bad name.
My goodness.
My dear goodness. Okay, so Mel goes on the hunt for Meg because he's like, oh, where'd my date go? And he finds Meg's body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gruesome. Apparently, the stab wound down her back is wax, which they did just on set that day. But rough. And Mel's like, I'm not getting any.
Yep, and is now convinced that Ricky is the killer.
For whatever reason, I still don't understand why he thinks this.
Yeah. So, the children who threw sand at Angela and Ricky are camping down at the woods with their counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie, when one of the two asks him to go back to the main camp, he returns to find the remaining four children all hacked to pieces.
This is horrible. This is probably my least favorite scene. The director said if he regrets anything in this movie, it's this. And I agree. It just feels really unnecessary and really, really sad. Like, this is like,
yes,
this is different.
But, yeah. This is lending to the someone's on a revenge path because of the excessive bullying on campus. It'll make sense at the end of the movie. So,
yes.
I'm not agreeing with it. I'm just saying it's lending to more motivation.
Yeah, 100%.
Back at the camp, the killer enters Judy's cabin.
Yeah, she's, like, making out with a boy, and then she's like, stop kissing so wet. And then he's like, you know what, I'm gonna go. So he leaves, and she's, like, curling her hair when the killer shows up.
Yes. So, she gets murdered so she's being held down with a pillow over her face, muffling the screams, helping with, like, suffocation and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And the killer is using the curling iron over her body, and she's screaming. Now, it is hinted that it's a sexual... It's hinted that it's sexual assault with the curling iron.
Yes.
I'm losing my words today.
I never thought it... I mean, like, I thought that it could be implied. It just seemed...
If you know the twist, it makes a whole lot of sense.
Yes.
And also makes sense why they didn't show it or her dead body.
Yes.
Because that's
gruesome.
It's icky.
Yes.
But I also get the impression that, like, not only was she sexually assaulted with the curling iron, like, that, like, went through the whole body.
Yeah.
Of it's, just, like, flipping the curling iron or like running it up and down her like legs and stuff over her neck.
Rough.
Yeah. Rough. So I would, yeah, I have opinions. So the camp is thrown into a panic.
Oh yeah, because there's a killer on a rampage.
Yes. So thinking that Ricky is the killer, Mel decides to grab Ricky and starts beating the living shit out of him mercilessly.
It's horrible. I'm like, bro, like he is much bigger than this child. He is just throwing punches. And I'm like, dude, your accusations are baseless. Like, chill.
Yep.
Chill.
Yep. And before he can like finish the job or anything like that, he
has tries to run Jesus away. Moment.
Yeah.
And runs.
Starts to skedaddle because he's gonna get caught. Not because he can't like finish it, but he hears people coming.
Yes. But so lo and behold, he runs. Sees yes.
The real killer.
Yes, he
and
does.
And then gets shot in the throat with an arrow.
Good death.
Ooh, good is it death. Good? That's a good death.
Yeah.
I think this one is my favorite death, and my favorite gore moment is the blistering on Artie.
Ooh, that's good. That's good.
Like, I had to split it. Like, I love both of them. So this is my favorite kill. Chrissy's favorite gore moment is blistering Artie.
Oh, love it. I agree. That's
ooh,
good
actually,
pick.
It's I have two favorite gore moments. Also the bees.
I was gonna say the guy in the that drowned is pretty gruesome too.
Yeah, but it's not my favorite. I think bees and blisters are my top two, tied for first favorite gore moments.
The bees.
Bees? Question mark. So now Frank is doing a call and search with the counselors.
Yeah, he's the sheriff, I think.
Yes. So in the beginning of the movie, he had a real mustache. Yep. And in the later movie, he had a fake mustache because he couldn't grow his mustache that he shaved
back
quick enough. So they had to plaster on a fake mustache. And I'm like, boy, what you doing with that fake mustache?
Yeah, apparently he had to shave it for another role that he was in. Yep. But like, yeah, you see the side by side and you're like, that's rough. But I didn't notice. Like,
I noticed immediately, like, bruh.
Oh, no.
All the counselors are out and about trying to figure out everything going on. And they discover Ricky is unconscious but still alive.
Yeah.
And they're helping him. In the meantime, Paul heads down to the waterfront to find Angela. And Angela kind of makes a hint, like, okay, undress. We go skinny dipping.
I am, like, still bewildered by this because they're, like, 13. Like, I can't. I'm sorry. I can't.
Teenagers do dumb shit.
They do.
Ronnie and Susie find Angela sitting at the shore humming to herself.
Supposedly naked because, like, we see her bare back.
Yes. And we think Paul is the one laying in her lap because she's like stroking his hair and humming quietly. Then we get some interesting flashback moments with Aunt Martha welcoming home the survivor of the boat accident at her home.
Yes.
But it is revealed that Angela was the one who died and not Peter, and that Peter survived and is being groomed as a daughter because Aunt Martha is cuckoo bananas.
Yep.
And
this, I'm assuming this is not something that Angela wanted when she was Peter.
No. You mean Peter when...
Yeah, sorry. Peter wanted when he became... Yeah.
Then Angela Peter stands up with the iconic jaw drop, wide eyes, and the zoom out to reveal the naked man body, which it is a real person's body.
Yes,
and
it is.
The face is a mask that they create.
apparently this poor person was like a college age student who had to get drunk before filming this scene.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I
and
get
we
it.
See everything.
Oh yeah, everything. Oh. This is my
only
biggest
briefly.
Problem with the movie. Like,
okay.
I hate this scene. Everything else about this is fine. I hate the full body nude shot because it's like implying child nudity. And I really, really don't like that. It's just, that crosses a line for me. Like, I didn't need to see that in order to understand what was happening. And I just think, like, it's definitely a shock factor, but it's uncomfortable and I think it's inappropriate.
And I get that. But I also see, I mean, I also have problems with that. Do not get me wrong. Child nudity, bad.
Yeah.
No bueno.
But no, it's not a child, which we know.
I know,
so.
But it's implied.
Yes.
So, but in the 80s, anyone who saw that was just immediately shocked because they didn't see that coming.
Right.
Like, there's no spoiler alerts in the 80s.
No, and I actually didn't know the twist, but I did figure it out right before it happened. Right before.
Yes.
It took me the entire movie.
Which, I'm glad you didn't know the twist.
Yeah, it was good. It left me thinking about it. I almost got it in the beginning. Because I'm like, I'm pretty sure the boy lived. And you're like, no. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and then a nice, sweet little girl. Oh, okay.
I'll buy this.
Yeah, so we get a zoom in on the face one more time, and then it fades to a green negative shot, and then roll credits. That's the movie.
Yeah. It's
It's something.
All right. Do we have some fun facts? You want me to do the taglines first?
Go ahead and do taglines first.
Okay. It says, you'll go there on a bus and come back in a bag. The next one is like, I think it's a piece of like notebook paper with writing on it that says, Dear Mom and Dad, I've been at sleepaway camp for almost 3 weeks now and I'm getting very scared. Someone is watching you. Someone is waiting for you. Someone wants to scare you to death. Literally. The camp's activity for today, murder.
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 You won't be coming home. Summer camp has never been so scary.
Well,
a nice place for summer vacation. A perfect place to die.
Nice.
This place puts the RIP in R&R. And I have no idea. I don't know what that means. And Carrie meets Friday the 13th.
I mean, yeah, kind of, I guess.
Yeah.
So some fun facts that I have left.
Yeah, you.
The film became an unexpected hit and cult classic, making 30 times more than what was spent.
Yeah, and what was spent was about $335,000.
Yep.
Which really isn't that much.
No. Angela, Judy, and Meg were all actually quite close, like they were good friends. So filming the water scene was apparently very difficult for the three of them because it was just bullying.
That's traumatic.
Yeah. As a kid, the director, Robert, actually went to that camp that was used in the film. Let's see. Jonathan was given the role of Ricky after an unusual audition in which writer-director Robert asked Jonathan to curse him out.
Yeah, his first part of his audition was actually, he had to be a newscaster for his hometown and be like, sell his hometown, and then he had to curse out the director, which makes more sense when you think he's 17. You're like, oh yeah, that sure.
Yeah. The movie was shot in early fall, but was supposed to be like set in midsummer, so the crew had to like constantly spray paint the brown grass and leaves to be green.
That's hilarious.
For continuity. Some of the campers getting off of buses were relatives of the cast and crew.
Yep.
I mean,
Alyssa Rose's cousin, I think, was a background camper.
Yeah, just gotta use up all them bodies to make the camp look full.
Yeah, and it did. It felt full. They did a good job.
Yep. When casting the role for Angela, the director would have the actresses stare widely and straight ahead while also pretending to eat a giant candy bar.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good way to do it, just mm-hmm. because, like, a lot of what she does has to be conveyed through her eyes instead of dialogue, so.
Yep. While filming the canoe scene, when the canoe flips over, John Dunn cut the top of his hand open on a sharp rock and had to be rushed to the hospital.
Yikes.
We already discussed the end scene and how that was a mask.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the blisters. The shot of Judy's dead body was initially cut from the movie because it was too gruesome.
I am curious just to know what that would have looked like.
I tried to find it and I couldn't.
Dang it.
I did try. And the paramedics who carried away Artie, the cook, were real paramedics from the nearby town.
Yep. They were really excited to be like a part of this movie and stuff.
And the last thing that I found interesting, because it was kind of a long list of stuff, but the last thing I found interesting for the beehive scene, they made a dummy of Billy and then they covered it in a sugar mixture to keep all the bees on it.
So that's why his face is so covered in bees.
Yeah, because they put sugar on it.
Yeah,
they pour some sugar on him.
And pour some sugar on me.
Yeah.
So I have some fun facts. So the hands in the movie that do the killing, those are Jonathan Tiersten's hands. Which I think is, like, a really neat thing if they're supposed to be cousins. It's Ricky's hands versus Angela's hands. So that was really nice.
Also lends to, like, us trying to figure out who the killer is.
Yeah, I think it's a good touch. It's a nice touch. And Jonathan Tiersten also played when he's up in the canoe and he drowns. Well, who is that dies?
Kenny.
I can't even remember. Yeah, him. He, mm-hmm. That's him. It's Jonathan Tiersten in the doorway wearing a wig when he's going to, you know, say hi to Judy to kill her. Mm-hmm. So he did all of that, which is, I think it's a nice touch. I think it's really nice. So I'm very happy with that. Let me see. I am looking. Oh, yeah. This is a really weird tidbit that I found in the documentary, 45-minute documentary you can find on YouTube that I watched, but there was original talks, obviously vetoed by Felissa's mother and not appropriate for a child, but where they talked about having Felissa, who plays Angela, wear a strap-on for the final scene.
Yeah, that would have been no.
Yeah, no, a huge no. Huge yeah. No. Angela or Felissa did have to wear a specially made bra for the movie, to basically, like, make sure she was as flat as she could be, because
yep.
She's not supposed to be a woman. So,
right.
Let me see. This is pretty much most of it. I think you kind of covered everything. I think the only other thing that's a little bit interesting is that Felissa and Jonathan, Angela and Ricky, actually kind of had, like, a crush on each other.
Oh, I had that. I found that they dated and broke up, and they
yes.
were 17 and 13. And
yeah,
like,
what?
I, guys.
Yeah, and apparently,
when you're adults, the 5-year age gap is fine.
Yeah, it's,
when
it's
you are in high school, middle school, no.
Yeah, that's it's a little weird.
Absolutely,
it's a little
yeah.
bit weird. And she apparently he like. There was, like, some campers that came over, or, like, people that were extras as campers that were, like, 19, 18, 19. So they were, like, a little more, you know, developed. And Jonathan got really flirtatious with them and it really pissed off Felissa. So then Felissa and Jonathan had to be locked in a room together by the director so that they could just work it out.
I mean, yeah. Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do.
Mm-hmm. The guy who played Mel, Mike, he was sick when they filmed this, and he actually passed away from lung cancer before the film released.
Yep.
It's just sad.
Much
and
sad.
Not support the support I like it. That's what I get.
That means it's time to grade this shit.
Hell yeah. So Christy and I have 5 questions that we use to score a movie, and we take each of those questions, we rated on a scale of 1 to 10 for a possible score of 50 each and 100 total. So, you ready?
Yes. So, the first question. Was this movie scary / was it a good horror movie?
6.
I gave it a 7.
Yeah, it's good. I enjoyed it.
How was the acting?
7.
6.
Okay.
Okay. How were the special effects?
8.
I gave it a 10.
Oh, you liked it. You really nothing liked the special effects.
Nothing jumped out to me as, like, being off or anything like that, and I just really enjoyed them. So 10 out of 10.
I think the worst special effect is Paul's head at the end.
Yeah. But at that point, like, I wasn't, like, focusing on Paul's head.
Yeah, no. It was just there.
Yeah. So. Was it a compelling story or have interesting twists?
8.
I also gave it an 8.
It definitely has an interesting twist. It's different.
It's nice and twisty. How was the character development and the writing?
5.
8.
Ooh. So I give this a 34.
I gave it a 39.
Dang.
Yes. So that is putting us at a 73, which is in between The Lighthouse and Evil Dead 2.
Okay. I'm cool with that. Yeah. I mean, do you have any other thoughts on this movie?
I mean, I'm the one that recommended it because I like it. So.
I liked it. I thought it was a very entertaining movie. I just wish the last, like, 5 seconds were not.
Kelly, you said that you liked an 80s slasher that I showed you?
Well, yeah. I liked Fright Night, too.
Fright Night is not a slasher. It's a supernatural fantasy horror.
To be fair, I like Evil Dead. Is that a slasher?
Not really, but it has some slasher elements, but it's not really a slasher.
I think this one had a really clear cut and really understandable story. Like, Nightmare on Elm Street loses me completely at the end. And then Friday the 13th, I honestly think this is better than Friday the 13th.
I mean, we do have it higher than Friday the 13th, I'm pretty sure. So,
I just think the acting's better, the writing's better. The general ambiance. No, so.
I understand. I was just like, it's going to be my new ringtone. I like this movie.
Oh, no.
Excuse me? Every time. I like Sleepaway Camp.
I do. I do like it. I think it's a good movie. I get why people
I'm just giving you garbage.
Think there are sequels, aren't there?
There are 2 sequels, I believe.
Okay.
I've seen the second one. I don't think I've seen the third one. It's been a minute. But
they're probably not very good. I mean.
No. Obviously, the first one is the best. So the next movie is a recommendation from Kelly's uncle.
Yes, Uncle Sean. Thank you, Uncle Sean.
We'll be covering Us, which is the next movie on the Jordan Peele list.
Yes. We did watch it. I'm very excited to cover it.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot to talk about with that one.
Obviously.
It's
a good
one. I have a lot of thoughts about it.
Alrighty. So, we still have ties to solve, but I don't have the numbers for them yet. But go find the polls on the Facebook group at Unnerved, a Horror Movie Podcast, on Twitter at AnnNerved. You can come talk to me at Instagram, because that's the place now, too, that I'm on. you can just put it in, like, a comment or something, because I'll probably be posting about Sleepaway Camp or something soon.
Heck yeah.
But yeah, you can go there and vote, which would be much appreciated, because we do value your guys' opinions in breaking up our ties.
Yes.
And if you like our artwork as much as we do.
Yeah, go check out my sister, Danielle, at Danny Draws Dragons on Instagram. She's insanely talented. Super love her. And if you want more of her, then you can listen to our Annihilation episode where she is a guest.
Yep. Links to everything are in the description below. Also, you can use all those links to let us know what movies you want us to cover.
Yeah, we're really open to trying just about anything.
We'll watch anything with horror in the genre of the movie.
Yeah.
Pretty much. That's pretty much it. We may filter through some of them because we've been a little taken aback by one requested movie.
Yes, for sure. It was rough. It was really rough for us to get through. Yeah, we still watched it. We still talked about it, but
yeah. Just give us the recommendation and we'll see what we can do.
Yes.
That's pretty much it. In the meantime, stay safe. Another round of COVID has been happening, apparently, and it's suckish. I hope everybody had a good Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
And also stay spooky. We are getting closer and closer to October.
Yeah, we're what, like 5 months away? We are literally from our recording date, with the date we are recording this right now, 5 months.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
5 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yes, let's go.
It's going to be so spooky this year. I'm so jazzed. I'm so amped.
We gotta talk about what we're going to do for October this year.
Hell to the yeah. I have an idea. I'll have to run it past you. I have an idea.
Okay, I'm all ears.
But yeah, stay spooky, and we'll see you guys in 2 weeks for us.
Bye.